just, I want each one of you to bow your heads right now and just, do you believe that Jesus is listening to you and you say, Lord Jesus, help me hear what you want to say in the next 35 minutes. You just pray that yourself, okay? And you believe Jesus hears you because he does. Pray that to yourself. Just tell him you want to hear what he wants to say to you.
Prizes.
Weak.
And how would you see them portrayed as weak? What would your context be on that one?
Well, like, in the movies, they mostly get, like, kidnapped or...
Okay,
like,
yeah, yeah. They need to be rescued?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But we also get told that they're, like, strong.
Yeah, there's sort of that dual thing, isn't there? That tension. To rescue a woman in the movies, you better be strong, right? I mean, that lady could probably clock you. At least. Anything else? Are they pictured like Penelope Pitstop? That's the lady that got rescued there. Certainly not like they used to be. I am amazed at how often women are pictured as physically strong, physically powerful, sexually powerful, physically powerful. Even how much women's sports is on television. The most watched sporting event, as I understand it, more than the Super Bowl, more than the really big game that's happened in the World Series, was the latest women's soccer tournament. More watched than any event in all of history. Wow. Watch a bunch of girls play soccer. What a different world. Now, you can have all kinds of picture, you can have all kinds of opinions on that. But that representation of womanhood is 180 degrees from where the Bible would take the picture of womanhood. The picture of womanhood presented today is extremely competitive and extremely threatening to what God calls you to walk in. One of the messages in our culture is that most beautiful women can be a way better man than you can be. There's no room for you to bring that. There's no need for you to bring that. They've already got it all. They have that amazing physical, sexual beauty, and they have all that strength and power. So what do you need? There's no need for you. You are superfluous. There's no need for what you bring. That, I believe, is the brokenness of man and probably actually demonic. It is an attack on the image of God in the world. Not that women don't at times need to be and shouldn't be and aren't strong, but that is not representation of womanhood that is to be the center of identity, just like there should be a center for you guys. There should be a center for your sisters up the mountain, a center that they move toward in most scenarios, that is a way that they express the reality of God. Because the reality of God is plural. The reality of God is not just in one or the other. It is not good, spoke the voice. The man to be alone is incomplete. We are not all there. We are not all there. We are not all there. Male and female, he made them. And he brought her to the man after he had given responsibility, after he had given moral instruction, after Adam had expressed authority in naming the animals. He brought her to him. Womanhood has a different center. Our world knows nothing about that. But just like masculinity is written in your heart, it is also written in their heart. Life is having the opportunity to live out those things. And just like when a perfect king gets to have perfect subjects, man, we got an amazing, wonderful scenario. When a perfect boss has perfect employees, you got an amazing scenario. When a man walking in what God has called him to and a woman walking in what God has called her to come together in marriage, it is like, whoa, two complete equals stepping into these roles of love with one another in an exclusive, unique way. And by the way, God says, in that place, that's where sex belongs. In that, a man bringing all that he is, and a woman bringing all that she is, in a permanent, united, I'm with you forever relationship. Boom! Now, bring it. That's where it belongs. The most powerful thing God has created in human experience. Put it right there. And let's have more life come out of it. And it all becomes so beautiful. So beautiful. You guys are different. I just want to read you a few differences. Do you know that verbal and spatial abilities in boys tend to be packaged in different hemispheres? The right hemisphere for nonverbal tasks, the left for verbal. So you've got your stuff in different places. But girls, nonverbal and verbal skills are likely to be found on both sides of the brain. So they can talk and do stuff at the same time. This affects their actions and reactions. From shortly after birth, females are more sensitive to certain types of sounds, particularly to a mother's voice, but also to loud noises. Girls have more skin sensitivity, particularly in the fingertips. are more proficient at fine motor performance. Girls are more attentive to social contexts, faces, speech patterns, subtle vocal cues. You guys just never get it. Girls speak sooner. Man, I know that's true. Of course, we're talking here about when they're little. But you put a small group together of men and women, boys and girls, and you make them a small group and you want them to talk, who talks first? I just go, you know, girls, I gotta tell you, don't talk. You speak so much more quickly than the boys do. Just, and once you start, they won't. Once you start, they won't. You've got to think differently. Okay. Boys show early visual superiority. Boys have better total body coordination, but are poorer at detailed hand activity, i.e. stringing beads. Boys have different attentional mechanisms and react as quickly to inanimate objects as to a person. Boys are more curious about exploring their environment. Boys are better at manipulating three-dimensional space. They can mentally rotate or fold an object better. Of 11 subtests for psychological measurements in the most widely used general intelligence test, only two, digital span and picture arrangement, reveal similar mean scans for males and females. In other words, we're the same in only two of these 11 things. There are six differences so consistent that the standard battery of this intelligence test now contains a masculinity, femininity index to offset the sex-related dimensions of it. Boys are more hyperactive. Because the male brain is primarily visual and learns by manipulating its environment, listening to instructions for boys in early elementary grades is more stressful for them. That's why you guys have such a hard time listening to me. It's just harder. If the girls were here, they'd all just sit there and, you know, go, oh, yeah, this is good. Girls do less well on scholarship tests that are more geared for male performance at higher grades. In women, the left hemisphere of the brain is better developed. She does better on this side. She has better verbal and communication skills, more sensitive and context-oriented. She is two times more susceptible to phobias. She's twice as likely to be afraid as you are. It's wired through her brain. In men, the right hemisphere of the brain is better developed. We do better over here. He's better at visual, spatial, mathematical, and abstract manipulations. He's a tinkerer and explorer. He's more sex-oriented and tends to establish turf. He commits almost all violent crime, and more men are sex deviants and psychopaths because they have less control from the left hemisphere of the brain. And that talks about more mood stuff. There are more males at both ends of the intellectual spectrum, more retardates as well as more geniuses. So you guys are just more extreme. Men and women differ in every cell of their bodies, difference in the chromosome combination. Women have greater constitutional vitality, perhaps because of this chromosome difference. Normally, she outlives a man by 3 to 4 years. They have different basal metabolism. Skeletal things are different. Your teeth last longer than do both girls, so that's good to know. Women have a larger stomach, kidney, liver, and appendix, but smaller lungs. In functions, women have several important ones totally lacking in men, which menstruation, pregnancy, lactation, all these influence their behavior and feelings, more hormones. A woman's blood contains more water. They have 20% fewer red blood cells than you do. 20% fewer red blood cells. Since these supply oxygen to the body cells, she tires more easily and is more prone to faint. Her constitutional vitality is therefore strictly a long-range matter. When the working day in British factories under wartime conditions was increased from 10 to 12 hours, accidents in women increased 150%. But in men, not at all. In brute strength, men are 50% above women. Women's heart beats more rapidly, their blood pressure is lower. Her vital capacity of breathing power is lower by a 7-to-10 ratio. And so they are they're different in all these different things. And when I look at that, I go, okay, so they're different. So God made them different. He made them different because they are meant to live a different role. You are made different because made to do something different.
Those are rules.
So are you supposed to be strong like Dudley?
Yeah, you are. Look at these verses here. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Be strong. David spoke to his son, be strong and show yourself a man. How do you feel about that, being called to be strong? You feel inadequate in that? There is a strength in manhood. There's a strength in manhood you're supposed to bring. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you. And you've overcome the evil one. Young men, young men, young men, you are strong. You are growing into that which has strength. You are growing into that which has strength. God has made it to be so. But you need to own that in the right way, like God the Father does, as He brings His strength, and as Jesus does with us. This is one of my favorite verses about men, spoken to me many times. Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Who is that said about?
Boaz.
Oh, I so want to be that. When people look at me and go, he's got it, don't worry about it, he's got it. Sit down, go rest, he's got it. He's on. He won't let it go. He'll get done. When people say that about you, Naomi knew that about Boaz. Forget it, he's got it. Go shopping, he's fine. He's on it. He won't rest. He'll get sick. But then there's this verse. Don't give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. Well, what's with that? I thought we were supposed to bring our strength. We're supposed to honor women. But here there's careful instruction. Don't bring your strength to women. So what do you guys think it means? To bring your strength to me in the bad way, in the wrong way.
To deny your role that God set you up as.
To deny your role? Okay, to deny that. What would be dimensions of that role?
Take responsibility.
Okay, maybe you're bringing your strength by advocating responsibility. You guys feel like you know inside what that means to give your strength to women? Does that go, oh yeah, I know what that is. Oh yeah, I know what that is. I trust that resonates with you. Do you realize one of the greatest battles in your life will be to give your strength that God gave to you for His purposes to give it to women? Why would I say that? How did we get in this mess in the first place? Well, here's how it all happened. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. So why did this whole thing fall? Why? Adam ate the fruit, right? Adam ate the fruit. So he said, God said, don't eat the fruit. Adam ate the fruit. The whole world fell. But that's not what God said. Here's how God described it. Adam, he said, because you listen to your wife. I really like what older translations say, which I think captures the word a little better. Because you hearken unto the voice of your wife. She called you. She said, I'm freaking out. Help me. You've got to eat this. And you hearken unto the voice of your wife. And you ate from the tree. What should Adam have done with his strength? Adam was very strong. What should he have done with his strength? What should you have done with his strength? Okay, you're going to be in this place. You're going to be in this place. All right, so everything around you is going crazy. Everybody knows what they want you to do. They want you to do this, and you're not totally sure you should be doing that. What should you do?
Go to God.
Go to God. God, what are we supposed to do here? Hey, Eve, wait right here. I'll be right back. Just wait. Don't. I'll be right back. I got to go find God. He will fix this. Hearken into her voice. You know, I don't know what she was crying. I don't know if she batted her eyelashes. I don't know what she did. But he went where he knew he should not go. And he gave his strength to his wife rather than using it to serve God. And you will feel that challenge all the time. Every time you see a beautiful woman on a magazine, you know what they're asking you for? Give me your strength. Give me your strength. Give me your strength. And part of your strength just saps out of you. I honestly believe that's why there are so many of us in America as men, we are so weak. Because everywhere we are giving our strength to women. And there's probably even manhood left in us because we're giving our strength to women. There are no adult bookstores. There's only little boy bookstores, and everybody that goes into them, they're just little boys, and they all know it. They all know it. It's just a place for little boys. All their manhood is gone. You have to protect your strength. We can probably all relate to this. You know, Proverbs 7. You know, this lady comes out and she tries to tempt him. She tells him all these wonderful things. And it's like there's this decision making. He just makes a decision like, oh, okay. Okay. And it says, all of us. It's like he just yields and he follows her. He's like an ox going to slaughter. How much strength does an ox have? It's just like, oh. And that's what we become through all the temptations around us, which is all of our strength. That manhood that God wants, it just is gone. The world wants to make you an ox. And God wants to make you a man. And there's different battles for men at different stages. My stage is different than yours. I'll tell you the battles are on the battle for you guys. It is controlling your physical desires, your sexual desires. You are going to wrestle with that alligator for the rest of your life. But it is your biggest battle right now. It is like huge. And this world just thrashes you around like you've got a hold of an alligator. And we're going to talk about that battle more specifically. I'm just telling you, don't think, oh, I have to have any struggles. I know I should, and I shouldn't have any struggles. You have a hold of an alligator. It's just thrashing you. Back and forth. All of it trying to rip the strength out of your life. And you can win the battle. And it's hard. Harder than it used to be. But here's how we honor our sisters. We bring our strength as men by honoring younger women as sisters. And then Timothy tells us, don't rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. So here's our different roles. So I'm with an older man. It's like, okay, I'm in that role of uniting with. It's like, okay. And Timothy was a leader here. So how do you lead an older man? Treat younger men as brothers. Ooh, there's my egalitarian relationship. Okay, lock in there. Older women as mothers and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Now, it's hard for me to get this verse because I never had any sisters. What do you guys do? How many of you guys have physical sisters? I think there's sort of a possessiveness about sisters, right? Like, don't you touch my sister, I'll bust you. Or, you know, like just a protectiveness. And, you know, you're supposed to bring that natural protectiveness to all the women in your life, but especially to your Christian sisters. You're supposed to look at them like, hey, wait a minute. We're not messing with them. We are going to protect them. We're going to provide a safe environment for them. God has a purpose for them. God has a plan for them. And these dear girls are trying to do what Jesus wants them to be, and we're not messing with them. We're treating them with purity, absolute purity, as sisters. I get to experience that as a young Christian man, where I was invited into a community of believers that related to the women in that world that way. It was so cool. Will you be a protector? We go, no, I'm not going to use them for my own thing, and I'm not going to let you use them either. These are my sisters. Don't mess with them. We love them. We honor them. We make dinners for them. We do fun things with them, but we honor them. We treat them as sisters with absolute purity. Because I don't know what God's got for them, but it's probably not being married to me, so I'm not touching them. They are going to give their whole heart to somebody someday, and I'm so excited about that. and I'm going to give my whole heart to somebody someday, and we're all sharing in that walk, and we're all protecting one another, and I'm protecting them. That's how you honor women as sisters. And I never had a sister, didn't have any daughters, but I think I really understand that. You know what? Jesus calls you as a man and says, hey, would you do this for me? I'm not there. I need someone to do this. Would you do this? Can I give you this one? You go, I got that one. My heart will protect them, and I will protect their heart. We honor women by establishing equal love and value. It's an amazing verse in 1 Timothy. It says, I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the other angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. As far as I know, that's the strongest charge of the entire Bible. There is nothing God has told anybody to do with more strength behind it than that. I mean, what else can you throw in there? You got God, you got Christ Jesus, you got the elect angels. It's like he's like pulled every single thing he can pull out. And you're telling me to preach the gospel, right? No, he doesn't say that. You're telling me to read my Bible, right? No, he doesn't say that. Don't be partial. Are you a man? Then you create an environment where there's not partiality. We all feel insecure. Girls can feel incredibly insecure because the world has labeled what's valuable, and some of them have those labels of value, and some of them don't. And what do we do in our own selfishness? Oh, we are partial. We pay more attention to some than to others. Because why? Because it selfishly gives back to us. And God says, that is not masculine, that is not manly. Here's the charge. You create an environment, and you protect an environment, and you live in an environment where for every person, the likable person and the unlikable person, the beautiful girl and the girl that's not beautiful, the smart person and the dumb person, the annoying person and the exciting person, you create an environment where, you know what? Every person, in terms of their value as a human being, gets labeled the same here. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. And I am here protect that. I am here to establish that. And if you're partial in any way to anybody, and in this context, we're about girls, and if you're partial to girls because you like some girl that you think is pretty, then there's no masculinity and no manhood there. That is just, you're just being a boy, and you're just being selfish. And Jesus, if he was there, he'd go, I need to find some men here. We've got too many boys. It could be some men, and put this thing in the right place. You honor women when you do that. And you guys, it's so much fun. So much fun to create an environment where the girls honor the boys as men. They look to them to lead. They look to them to put things in place. They look to them to take responsibility. And the boys, the men, the honor, the girls, the women as women. Like, hey man, you are safe here. You are safe here. And it's just like, oh, this is really good. I really like this. There's life here. We honor women by being a man, not a guy. Can finish this verse. Then the Lord God made a woman, and he brought her to the guy. Brought her to the what? The boy. He brought her to?
The man.
Let's say that all together. He brought her to?
The man.
One more time with gusto. He brought her to?
The man.
Definition. Men, take headship. Guys, allow independence and autonomy. Well, you know, I don't know what everybody wants to do, you follow me. Men, initiate love, care, blessing, and affirmation. Guys are responders and expect a 50-50 relationship. Well, you got to do it last time. Men expend their lives to provide what is good for others. Guys, on a good day, will take responsibility for themselves. Men lead others into what is good, just like the Father did with Jesus. Guys, give others what they want and avoid conflict. The whole world, the whole culture is training you to be guys. Be stupid, be dumb, be selfish, be self-absorbed. That's your role as men, right? That's what men are, stupid, dumb, self-absorbed. Oh, that's so cute. Oh, throw it in the trash. You are not to be guys. God did not make you to be guys. He made you to be men. And it may scare you to death to think of growing into that, which is great, because it should. It's what I'm called to. I am not a man of men. Like I said, I could never dribble basketball. Nobody ever wanted me on the baseball team. I could never do any of those things. It doesn't make any difference because it's not about that. It's about loving as God wants us to love. It's about saying, this is what God wants, and I'll take responsibility to bring it about. Some of you guys, you know, you're like sports stars and heroes and all that, and there's a lot of that affirmation that rolls into that role. Some of you guys aren't. I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with that. I don't think God plays basketball. Maybe he does. Maybe you're going to get up there and he'll play with you. But God loves, and he takes responsibility to love, and you can do that. Guys give their sexual interest to every opportunity their day brings them. Boy, are you called to do that? Or what? Men understand that their sexual interest is only to be given to one woman when they have taken full responsibility, headship in marriage, for that woman. And they fight the battle until they get there. Here's how this works. The guy, of course, he's selfish, but he gets saved. Starts out as a selfish guy. It's typical. Anybody in your high school? He wants to become like Christ. He knows that's what it means to grow as a Christian. He can become like Christ. And so he starts out on that journey. And he rolls down the road to becoming like Christ. But he doesn't really have this understanding of what God's calling to as a man. So he is passive, because that's what guys are. They're passive. And he becomes a nice servant. He's a wonderful guy to have around. He'll help you. And, you know, he's growing and becoming like Christ in that dimension. And there's a man. Well, he's selfish. But he gets saved. And he wants to grow and become like Christ. And so he begins that road. And where that leads him is that leads him to be proactive, to take responsibility, to be ahead, to say, hey, I'm becoming like God. I'm living out the role of the Father in these different arenas. I'm taking responsibility. I'm taking headship. I'm bringing good. I'm laying down my life to bring good. What we are too seldom told is that part of our salvation is accepting this new identity. It isn't just this line down this road. It's this. And we need to make this transition where in my own identity I go, I'm just a guy. I'm called to become more like Christ as a man. As a man. I'm on the man line. I'm not on the guy line. Well, then we get a woman. Now, what's a woman? Well, she's selfish. But she is saved. And she wants to become more like Christ. And so she starts down that road of becoming more like Christ. And the question, of course, is, what does she become? What does she become? Well, it really depends on what the males are like around her. Because she's a responder, and she's going to track with that environment. Whatever they're like, as she grows in response to where they're at. So if she's around a bunch of guys, then what's she going to become? Well, she's going to be proactive, because to be like Christ is to be proactive. God wants women to be very proactive. Just think, he wants men to be proactive. Look purpose, if you're alive in Christ, is to be proactive. You pursue hard with initiative about what God wants for you to do. Man or woman. And so she's become like Christ, and she is now proactive. But if she's like a lot of Christian women are, and she's stuck in a world where really she's just about around a bunch of guys because the two won't watch too much of Big Bang Theory, then she's going to take responsibility and leave. Somebody's got to take responsibility. So she does. Oh, that's what it means. Somebody's got to do this. So she takes responsibility. But what if she's around a bunch of guys who made this transition and said, I want to grow as a man. I want to walk in this. Well, then when she's proactive, she will help and support. So, for women to become like Christ and be proactive and get to experience their womanhood, what do they need? What do they need? Men, what do they need? They need men. Wouldn't that be fun to create that environment? Wouldn't it be fun to go into that where you can make that possible? I'll tell you what, everything inside of me goes, oh yeah, I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that. God has a plan for our life as a man. To aspire to the man line is to express the image of the Father in the world. And it means taking headship over or responsibility for that which God has given me. I hope you guys feel called. And man, I want more responsibility. I want to do a better job with what I've got. I want to be on top of all that. It means to initiate love and care and blessing. Or you want someone to initiate that. You bring it. It's your thing. To proactively expand my life. Provide all that is good for those whom God has given me headship. To lead those of whom God has given me headship into that which is good for me. God's all that he made and hold was very good. It was evening and morning, the sixth day. We cannot be truly fulfilled in life unless we fully live out the identity God's made for us. And can you guys say this? The lines have fallen to be in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. Your heritage is a man. Can you go, that's beautiful to me. That's beautiful to me. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I love the place God has given me to be more like him. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the reality of masculinity and femininity and the beauty of it as it comes together, just like all the other arenas, fathers and sons, parents and children, good governments and good citizens. All these things, you keep making it where love flows in these two different ways that you can be responsible for or responsible to. And I just praise you, God. I thank you that that's you. And with us, you're in the male role, you're in the king role, you're in the master role, you're in the parent role, you're responsible for us, and you give everything you have for our good. You do it all. And I thank you that I get to pick up a piece of that. As a father, and as a husband, and as a man, I pray, Jesus, that we just hear that voice and that call, because there's life in that, there's life in that. And just bless us even as we continue to hear things like this, in Jesus' name. Okay, man, we have the next important thing, lunch. Bill's going to tell us about a minute.
Hold on. Before we go into 2 minutes from teachers, people are going to be helping me tomorrow night, Don and Chris.